The alien rested on its folded hind leg.
"You wonder why I brought you here. This will take some explanation. What do you know of my species?"
"It's been a long time since college. You had a commercial empire once, didn't you? What we like to call known space was just a part of it. We know the Trinox bought from you, and we didn't meet the Trinox until 20 years ago."
"Yes, we dealt with the Trinox, largely through robots, as I recall."
"You had a business empire thousands of years old, at least, and scores of light-years across, at least. And then you left, all of you. You left it all behind. Why?"
"Can this have been forgotten? We fled the explosion of the galactic core."
"I know about that." Dimly, Louis even remembered that the chain reaction of Novi and the hub of the galaxy had actually been discovered by aliens. "But why run now? The core suns went nova 10,000 years ago. The light won't reach here for another 20,000 years.
"Humans," said the puppeteer, "should not be allowed to run loose. You will surely harm yourselves. Do you not see the danger? Radiation along the wavefront will make this entire region of the galaxy uninhabitable."
20,000 years is a long time."
"Extermination in 20,000 years is extermination nonetheless. My species fled in the direction of the clouds of Magellan, but some of us remained in case the puppeteer migration should meet danger. Now it has."
"Oh, what kind of danger?"
"I am not yet free to answer that question, but you may look at this."
The puppeteer reached for something on a table. And Louis, who had been wondering where the puppeteer kept its hands, saw that the puppeteer's mouths were its hands. Good hands, too, he realized, as the puppeteer reached gingerly across to hand Louis a holoprint. The puppeteer's loose, rubbery lips extended inches beyond its teeth. They were as dry as human fingers, and they were rimmed with little finger-like knobs. Behind the square vegetarian teeth, Louis caught a glimpse of a flickering forked tongue. He took the holoprint and looked into it. At first it made no sense at all, but he kept looking, waiting for it to resolve. There was a small, intensely white disk that might have been a sun, G-O or K-9 or K-8, with a shallow cord sliced off along a straight black edge. But the blazing object could not have been a sun. Partially behind it, against a space-black background, was a strip of sky blue. The blue strip was perfectly straight, sharp-edged, solid and artificial, and wider than the lighted disk. "Looks like a star with a hoop around it," said Louis. "What is it?"
"You may keep it to study if you wish. I can now tell you the reason I brought you here. I propose to form an exploration team of 4 members, including myself and including you."
"To explore what?"
"I am not yet at liberty to tell you that."
"Oh, come now. I'd have to be off my head to jump as blind as that."
"Happy 200th birthday," said the puppeteer.
"Thanks," Louis said, bewildered.
"Why did you leave your own birthday party?"
"That's not your concern."
"But it is. Indulge me, Louis Wu. Why did you leave your own birthday party?"
"I just decided that 24 hours weren't enough for a 200th birthday. So I went ahead and lengthened it by moving ahead of the midnight line. As an alien, you wouldn't understand."
"You were elated, then, at how well things were going?"
"No, not exactly, no." "Not elated," Louis remembered. "Quite the contrary, though the party had gone well enough." He'd started it at 1 minute past midnight that morning. Why not? His friends were in every time band. There was no reason to waste a single minute of this day. There were sleep sets all over the house for fast, deep cat naps. For those who hated to miss anything, there were wake-up drugs, some with interesting side effects, others with none. There were guests Louis hadn't seen in 100 years, and others he met daily. Some had been Louis Wu's deadly enemies long ago. There were women he had forgotten entirely, so that he was repeatedly amazed at how his taste had changed. Predictably, too many hours of his birthday were spent performing introductions, the lists of names to be memorized beforehand. Too many friends had become strangers.
and a few minutes before midnight, Louis Wu had walked into a transfer booth, dialed, and disappeared.
"I was bored stiff," said Louis Wu.
"Tell us about your last sabbatical, Louis. But how can you stand to be that much alone, Louis? How clever of you to invite the Trinnock ambassador, Louis. Long time no see, Louis. Hey, Louis, why does it take 3 Jinxians to paint a skyscraper?"
"Why does it?"
"Why does what?"
"The Jinxians."
"Oh, it takes 1 to hold the paint sprayer, and 2 to shake the skyscraper up and down. I heard that one in kindergarten. All the dead wood of my life, all the old jokes, all in 1 huge house. I couldn't take it."
"You are a restless man, Louis Wu. Your sabbaticals. It was you who originated the custom, was it not?"
"I don't remember where it started. It got on pretty well. Most of my friends do it now."
"But not as often as you. Every 40 years or thereabouts, you tire of human companionship. Then you leave the worlds of men and strike for the edge of known space. You remain outside known space, all alone in a single ship, until your need for company reasserts itself. You returned from your last sabbatical, your 4th, 20 years ago. You are restless, Louis Wu. On each of the worlds of human space, you have lived enough years to be known as a native. Tonight, you left your own birthday party. Are you becoming restless again?"
"That would be my problem, wouldn't it?"
"Yes. My problem is one of recruiting only. You would be a good choice as a member of my exploration team. You take risks, but you calculate them first. You are not afraid to be alone with yourself. You are cautious enough and clever enough to be still alive after 200 years. Because you have not neglected your medical needs, your physique is that of a man of 20. Lastly, and most important, you seem actually to enjoy the company of aliens."
"Sure." Louis knew a few xenophobes and regarded them as dolts. Life got awfully boring with only humans to talk to.
"But you would not wish to jump blind. Louis Wu, is it not enough that I, a puppeteer, will be with you? What could you possibly fear that I would not fear first? The intelligent caution of my race is proverbial."
"So it is," said Louis. In point of fact, he was hooked. Xenophilia and restlessness and curiosity combined. Wherever the puppeteer was going, Louis Wu was going too. But he wanted to hear more. And his bargaining position was excellent. An alien would not live in such a room by choice. This ordinary-looking hotel room, this reassuringly normal room from the viewpoint of a man of Earth, must have been furnished especially for recruiting.
"You won't tell me what it is you intend to explore," said Louis.
"Will you tell me where it is?"
"It is 200 light-years from here in the direction of the lesser cloud."
"But it'll take us nearly 2 years to get there at hyperdrive speeds."
"No. We have a ship which will travel considerably faster than a conventional hyperdrive craft. It will cover a light-year in 4/5 of a minute."
Louis opened his mouth, but nothing came out. 1 1/4 minutes?
"This should not surprise you, Louis Wu. How else could we have sent an agent to the galactic core to learn of the chain reaction of Novi? You should have deduced the existence of such a ship. If my mission is successful, I plan to turn the ship over to my crew with blueprints with which to build more. This ship, then, is your fee, salary, what have you. You may observe its flight characteristics when we join the puppeteer migration. There you will learn what it is that we propose to explore."
"Join the puppeteer migration?" "Count me in," said Louis Wu. "The chance to see an entire sentient species on the move. Huge ships carrying thousands or millions of puppeteers each, whole working ecologies."
"Good."
The puppeteer stood up.
"Our crew will number 4. We go to choose our 3rd member now."
And he trotted into the transfer booth.
Louis slipped the cryptic holo into his pocket and followed. In the booth he tried to read the number on the dial, for it would have told him where in the world he was.
But the puppeteer dialed too fast, and they were gone.
Louis Wu followed the puppeteer out of the booth and into the dim, luxurious interior of a restaurant. He recognized the place by the black and gold decor and the space-wasteful configuration of horseshoe booths. Krushenko's in New York. Incredulous whispers followed in the path of the puppeteer. A human head waiter, imperturbable as a robot, led them to a table.